Welcome to Make a Baby with Hashimoto's, where we will chat all things Hashimoto's and baby making. I'm Chelsea, registered dietitian and spiritual healer. I'm also a Hashimoto's warrior and mom of one.
And I'm Morgan. I'm a registered nurse, fellow Hashimoto's warrior, and a new mom of one as well. And we're so excited to help guide you through this amazing journey. Let's make a baby. Welcome back to another episode of Make a Baby with Hashimoto's. Chelsea and I are here with you today, coming through your speakers, and we're going to chat about Chelsea. Really, this is all about you, kind of. So I'm really excited. Do you want to share what you're going to be sharing on today's podcast?
Yeah. So if you haven't heard the news, I had weight loss surgery in December of 2022, and I figured it would be a really cool episode to answer any and all questions on like why I did it, what it is, how it's going to help me and my family in the future, and so on and so forth. So I'm letting Morgan interview me and ask all the hot questions. And, you know, I'm an open book and I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too. So let's first start off with telling your listeners like what kind of surgery you had. I know you said it was weight loss surgery, but like more specifically, it was a gastric sleeve. Is that correct?
Yeah. So it's called a VSG. If like you hear that term, it's a vertical sleeve gastrectomy. And basically what they do is they go in, it sounds crazy, but when I explain why I got it, it kind of makes sense, but they basically go in and cut off 80% of your stomach so that you have a smaller pouch, and it does stretch out over time. So I don't just have like this tiny itty bitty stomach for the rest of my life, but it becomes like a normal size eventually, a little smaller than what like normal day-to-day people have. But yeah, so like my stomach is the size of, like they said, it's the size of a cheese stick.
Wow. That's, I mean, that's kind of cool that they can go in and do that. And like,
wild.
It is wild.
So, laparoscopically too. It's like,
yeah, I was just going to say it was, I knew you told me it was laparoscopic. So that's even wilder. And if you're wondering like what that means, they literally just make some, what, like four probably puncture holes.
I have five, like a few centimeter incisions.
Tiny. Like you probably won't be able to see them after some time, but they go in and they do it. Like they have a camera inside of you. And they can kind of see like where they're at, like what they're doing when they're making your stomach smaller. So like no real big incisions, which is awesome. And like, what is healing like after, since you've had the surgery? Like, I guess, let me back up because I'm curious, what did pre-op like prep look like for you?
So I document everything over on my TikTok. We'll link that below. I wanted to document because I wanted it for myself. I was like, I want to remember this, but also if I could help anyone, that's important. And I was honestly keeping it a secret. I was really nervous to come out and share about this. But like, I'm not good with secrets, so I had to have an outlet. So I went and recorded like from day one of my post-op liquid diet. And so you're on a liquid diet. Not everyone, this is what's hard, is because there's no standardized way of doing pre-op and post-op. Like each doctor is different. So my doctor had me do a 2-week liquid diet. The reason they have, and it's very common, you may see like a liquid diet before, is because they want to shrink your liver. Your liver sits right in front of your stomach. And it's very common for people who are obese and overweight to have an enlarged liver because it has a lot that has to go through it. Mm-hmm. And typically fat likes to sit on top of the liver, a nice fat layer. So, and that's just like anatomy. That's just normal. And so they want your liver to become as small and flexible as possible so that they can get to your stomach. Because if it's too hard and big, they can't see your stomach and then they can't perform the surgery. So the liquid diet consisted of pretty much all liquid. I was able to have 3 protein shakes a day that like they approved. And I was able to have 1 egg and 1 yogurt. And sugar-free anything like ice pops, Jell-O, drinks. And it was so hard because I come from a more like natural, not sugar-free bland in my life. So this was definitely a mindset shift and things I had to work on. Also, just like not being able to eat became very frustrating. You can only have so much broth and like water and protein shakes in a day. But I would say I did it. I didn't like cheat. And I'm saying that with air quotes. I know you can't see me. It was hard. There were so many times where I was like, how are they going to know if I have one meal? You know, like my old disordered thinking and eating was definitely playing around in my head. And I cried a lot. I spent a majority of the time in my room in bed, like reading. I read so many books that month though. So it was good. And yeah, it was just pretty much liquids. I think it helped me not feel as inflamed, which was nice. I would never recommend it like long-term. This was just temporary to prep for surgery to make sure that I was good on the inside. But yeah, it was hard.
Oh, yeah, because 2 weeks is a long time to liquids.
Some people have to do it longer. It really like what they do depends on like where you're starting. So if you have like a lot more weight to lose, sometimes it's 4 weeks. Sometimes I'm like, I don't know how you people do that.
Okay, I don't know how they would do that. I don't think I could do that. That would be really hard. Okay. So prep was 2 weeks of liquid diet. Was there anything else besides the 2 week of liquid diet that you had to do in preparation for it?
I had to like wash my body with this special soap, like the week before, but like that was whatever, but it was just a lot of testing, honestly. I had to go through, because I went through my insurance, I had to go through and see tons of doctors to qualify for it to be through insurance. So I had to see like the surgeon, a cardiologist, a dietitian, a psychologist, a pulmonologist. I had to get an endoscopy. I actually ended up having two endoscopies. I think that was it. And I basically needed a green check from all of them saying that like I was mentally stable enough to handle a change like this, that my heart condition was good, my stomach looked good. I had to get two endoscopies actually, because on the first one they found a little polyp in my, like a little lipoma in the lining of my stomach. But they just wanted to make sure that, because they can pretty much cut your stomach any way they need to, that like if that would alter what they had to do. So I had to go back in and get another endoscopy, which I will say the nap that they put you under for an endoscopy was wonderful.
Yeah, they give you a little sleeping medicine.
Yeah, it was nice.
It's done. That's awesome.
It's like 10 minutes. You're not really out cold, but it was very like wild to wake up and be like, where am I? How much time has passed? And they're like, oh, 7 minutes. I'm like, oh shit. It felt like forever.
People who don't know what an endoscopy is, it's they put you out because they're going to go take a scope basically down into your throat, into your stomach. And they're looking at all of basically your stomach lining, your esophagus. They're looking at all of that to make sure everything looks good. It's basically just imaging, pictures, video of all of that. So if you're wondering like what that is,
it was really, I asked for pictures and they gave them to me. Yeah. Cause I was like, what does this fat mass thing look like? Like,
right. Yeah.
And so I got to see, and it looked like what you picture the insides of your body looking like. It was just like veins and skin.
Yeah.
Like the inside of your lips almost is what it looked
like. That's a great description. Great way to describe it. So, okay. So then you had surgery. Let's talk like post-op, like what were you in the hospital for very long? Was it outpatient? Like how did that look?
Yeah. So, hospital was inpatient. I was there for one night, which was very nice. It's weird because it is like a major surgery, but it's also not. So, you know, you wake up in a recovery room and that was wild because it was just like, what happens? Because you go into the operating room awake, you know, and they're talking to you, that you have to tell them your name, your birthday, and then you're out. I don't know, they were like, hey, this medicine's gonna make you like calm you down, and this medicine is going to make you go to sleep. And then I just close my eyes, and next thing I know, I'm in recovery. And I felt very bloated because they pump gas into you to like kind of expand, so they have an easier way of getting to everything that they need to get to. But also, just honestly, the worst part. I was talking with my mom about this honestly yesterday, and I said, I think I have a high pain tolerance because I didn't feel pain. I felt discomfort, but my story is quite different than what a lot of people, like if you're looking into this and you may look at reviews or Facebook groups or whatever, a lot of people do tend to be in pain afterwards, which makes sense. You have had a major surgery. But I was like totally fine. You wake up, you go into recovery, then they bring you to a room. I was nauseous after, but they gave me medication for that. I pretty much slept the whole first, like the whole day. My surgery was the first surgery of the morning. Wow. So I had like all day to recover, which I personally wanted. I was like, I want to be first. That way I'm done and I can get out sooner. Yeah. And so yeah, I was done. I was in my room by like 10 a.m. and in and out all day. For the first 6 hours, I wasn't allowed to like get out of bed or drink anything, but it was fine because I slept pretty much the whole time. But then they came and I was like, I want gas X because you feel very gassy and that could creep up into your neck and your shoulders, which is very painful. It's like, I need Zofran and like, I need to get up. Like, I can't sit here anymore. Yeah. So it was good. What they do is the more you walk around, the more the gas moves and things are moving. So every few hours I would get up and walk around. I was getting pumped fluid, so I'd have to pee every few hours. Then they would give you water. I had to drink like 8 1-ounce cups in a certain amount of time. In the hospital, I literally, like for that first day, only drank 8 ounces, but I was being pumped with fluids, which was
You're getting them through your
fine. Yeah. But it was the morning after. So like by the time it was 4 a.m., I was like, get me out of here. Like I'm the, you know, the anesthesia's worn off. Yeah. I'm still groggy and tired, but like I was just like, I'm bored. I keep getting up every hour. Like I'm
like at this point, I can heal at home, like in my own bed, not in a hospital.
Yeah. I don't know. I was just bored and antsy because there's not much to do. I was just pacing my room, which I will say I'm very lucky. My hospital was like gorgeous and they just redid the room I was in. And I was like, this is amazing. Yeah. But yeah, so I pretty much slept. They brought up like a yogurt and I had to be able to tolerate 2 bites of it. So I did that. I had to be able to swallow some medication the next day. I did that. But then they do a, a CAT scan, and I had to drink this horrible liquid and they watch it go down to make sure that there's no leaking or anything happening in your stomach. Because remember, it's a brand new stomach line. So
yeah.
That was the worst part of it, in my opinion. Yeah, it was disgusting, but that made me not like more nauseous than the surgery. And I will say that was the worst part. And then I didn't take any pain medication the whole time. And that was just a personal, like I felt I didn't need it. So I didn't take it. But yeah, it's pretty much just walking around the hospital floor, getting up and peeing and then going back to sleep was pretty much what I did every 2 hours until I went home.
Released. Awesome. Well, that's, I mean, I'm like so happy that you didn't have much pain with it. Like that's amazing.
I'm very lucky.
So once you got home, like how long did your recovery? I mean, I know your recovery is like ongoing.
Mm-hmm.
Like were you in bed for a couple of days? Were you like you got home and you're like, what did it look like for you?
So I got home and I took a long nap because you're still tired. You know, I've never been under anesthesia before. So that was a first. But luckily I had a C-section. So I kind of was like, know how my body reacts. Like I took a stool softener because I knew like that first poop was traumatic postpartum. So I was like, I'm doing that again. But pretty much it's weird because it's completely new and you're swollen on the inside. Like, so drinking water was hard. I can't chug. I have to take small sips and it has to be frequent because you don't want to be dehydrated. I wasn't on IVs anymore. So I had to set an alarm every 15 minutes to take an ounce of water. And then eventually after a few days, it turned into every 30 minutes, then every hour to like just drink more. I felt it. It was so strange. It was so like new feeling what an empty stomach feels like versus a full stomach.
Yeah.
Because I haven't felt that in years, honestly. And this is one of the main reasons why I even got the surgery, but I'm sure we'll talk about why I got the surgery in a question or two. But it was pretty much protein shakes and water
for like the first however many days.
So this is why it's confusing, because everyone's post-op instructions are different, just like everyone's pre-op instructions are different. My doctor wanted me to go home on puree foods. I didn't feel ready for that. So I was on liquids for about 5-ish days. Yeah. Again, but it was mostly because I was full from that. Like I couldn't even really.
Yeah, purees would be like too much almost at
first. Yeah, like I couldn't really have, like there wasn't room for it. Mm-hmm. But then I tried like ricotta cheese and applesauce. They basically gave you like an approved list, I would say. Which, just because I'm me, I pretty much followed, but there were some things where I was like, this is silly. They didn't want me to have any type of animal protein until a week out, which fine. So it was pretty much dairy. Luckily, I'm doing okay with dairy right now. But yeah, I would say like my first food was, I think, ricotta cheese, and I had cottage cheese, cream cheese, and it's one bite. Like I couldn't fit more than that. Very tiny, like 1 ounce at a time. Mm-hmm. Nothing crazy. But then as I became less inflamed, you could fit a little bit more in your stomach. So then I moved up to 2 ounces at a time, and then 3 ounces. Right now I would say I'm between 2 and 3 ounces in a sitting is like my sweet spot. Yeah. But certain foods like sit heavier. So like red meat for me, like 1 or 2 bites and I'm full as can be, which is weird to me because like I can eat as much chicken, you know, 2 ounces of chicken be fine. Yeah. But yeah, I would say like the biggest difference is I feel full. Like I haven't felt full in years.
That's wild. So like you can actually tell the difference. You can feel the difference right now. And I know you said like you were eating like two to three ounces. So when in my mind, I'm thinking like breakfast, lunch, dinner, some snacks in between. What is that looking like for you? Is it more frequently you're eating or it's less frequently? It's not the same.
So the way my surgeon does things, like I said, I'm with my knowledge, I'm kind of adding my own twist into it. Now they did give me, I will say like month one, I can only have these foods and I pretty much stuck with that. And then month two, you can add in vegetables, and then month three, you can add in fruit. So like, I'm kind of following that basic thing. Mm-hmm. The only thing I did like not really follow was like, I had tuna in the beginning. Cause I was like, I can't have cottage cheese every day. Yeah, I need different, because like after having that for 2 weeks before surgery, and then after I was just like, I need,
you burnt out on it,
something. But it was fine, and I think it's really about how it sits with you, and these are just like common foods that people might have issues with, but like not everyone. Like there are some people who go home on a regular diet and just I see them eating like soup and quesadillas and, you know, easy things, and I'm just like, I can't do that. Yeah. And that's okay. I totally forgot your question.
So like how frequent are you eating like 3 ounces?
So I'm pretty much eating, I would say like three meals a day of 2 to 3 ounces. And then I am noticing I am getting like hungry in between. Some of it is head hunger, because this is a huge mental game for me. It really is like messing me up in good ways. Like I'm working on it. So I'll have like a protein shake if I'm really hungry. I'll have a piece of cheese. I'll have a yogurt. I'll have a few nuts and seeds, which that's like a new thing I was just able to start adding in. Some deli meat, but it's only like a tiny, like half a slice of turkey is all I can eat. Like it's not, like I'm not super hungry enough for a full meal of 2 to 3 ounces in between, but I kind of just like take a few bites and then leave it. Which is also new for me, something I was never able to do.
Yeah, I feel like in my head, I would think, because I'm so used to making a plate of food and like not making a huge plate of food, and not, I'm saying huge, but huge compared to 2 to 3 ounces.
Yeah.
Like a normal plate, that seems large compared to 2 to 3 ounces. So that's
a mind fuck.
Such a mind fuck. And like it so is. Challenging. Dang.
It is such a mind fuck. Like, to be able to clean my, go from cleaning my plate and getting seconds to like having 4 bites of chicken and like a Brussels sprout.
Wow.
Is like, honestly, I get mad. Like, it's such a weird feeling because I love food.
Yeah, for sure.
Food is one of my favorite things. It's honestly, I always say it's a part of my love language. I love cooking for people. I love cooking, getting creative in the kitchen. That's how this all started. Like my becoming a registered dietitian, not weight loss surgery. Well, maybe, but, it's hard to not to want to eat something because it's so good, but you physically cannot take another bite. Like there's no room. It's such a weird mental and physical game because I have spent the last 20 something years listening to my head because I didn't have hunger and fullness cues at all. So
what you wanted and when you wanted to stop, and yeah, so reversing that and actually listening to your body, like
yeah, like listening to my stomach.
Yeah,
it's new. This is completely, I was on Weight Watchers at 8 years old. Like this is new.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating. I'm not going to lie. I have an emotional relationship with food for sure. It was my coping mechanism. It was also healing. Like it's just a weird outer body.
New experience.
Yeah.
Almost a very, like you have to be intuitive to what your body's telling you because you have to listen to what it's saying.
Yeah. Listen, there's some people who don't, and that's okay. Like this is where it's everyone's different. I now have hunger and fullness cues. Other people are like, I don't, after surgery, I don't feel full. I could eat 5 ounces in a sitting, and that's like, everyone's different. It's so different. But for me, I like my body tells me. So either I burp, I get like the hiccups, but I literally feel it. My issue is that I eat fast. And I'm working on that. So like, I need to wait for it to like hit my stomach. Mm-hmm. So that's been a learning curve. It's all, honestly, it's all a mental game. Like the physical part of it is easy.
Yeah.
It's whatever. It's the mental
side of things. I get that. I could see where that would be the hardest part.
Because yeah.
Like you said, 20 some years of your life of living this way, and this is what you know and how you've trained your mind and your body when you're eating. I mean, think about it, as humans, we eat all the time. And then for this to be kind of turned upside down on its head, huge, huge challenge.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm lucky I expected it, and I've been doing work on this. So it's not like the shocking weird experience for me. I expected this.
Yeah.
I trained for it almost in a way, but it definitely still messes with me. I'm on a daily basis. I'm not, and it's hard to decipher between, am I just head hungry? Like, do I just want something crunchy, or do I want, or am I actually hungry?
Yeah.
And I don't know. But this is part of the reason why I got the surgery in the first place. My main issue, like when it comes to physiology in general, like my stomach was so stretched out, and I didn't have any hunger or fullness hormones. Like those hormones are long gone from ignoring for years.
Yeah.
And so my stomach, what was happening is I would eat a regular portion and still be hungry. And then I'd eat again. And then I could probably still fit more. And then I didn't get a fullness cue until I was like sick to my stomach full.
Wow.
So almost every meal, I wasn't satisfied. And when I would try and satisfy myself, I was sick and inflamed and uncomfortable. So that was one thing. Like when they did the endoscopy, they even said like, you do have a bigger stomach. Obviously it makes sense.
It makes sense.
I get it. But that's what happens from years and years of dieting, years and years of like when a muscle eventually it's supposed to like snap back basically. Mm-hmm. But like when it gets to the point where it's just stretched out for so long, it doesn't snap back.
Yeah.
So, you know, it, that was one of the reasons why I was like, I need help. Like going on a diet isn't
helping. It's not doing
anything. Yeah. Like, yes, I feel healthier and yeah, I'm eating a lot of greens, but like, it's not making me full or satisfied. It's just making me uncomfortable.
Obviously, besides that being one of the whys, was there any like point in time where you were like, that's it, I'm doing this? Like, what was the final straw that like broke the camel's back that made you decide? Yeah. Like,
so weight loss surgery has been around my family for a very long time. And I honestly thought it was the easy way out. I was super against it. I had a weight loss transformation on my own through diet and working out in like 2015, 2016. I lost almost 100 pounds like myself. But then I got diagnosed with Hashimoto's, PCOS, and was gaining weight really fit. It was, you know, this is what happened. And being postpartum at like a year postpartum, I was like, I have gained more weight postpartum than like, it just wasn't normal. I wasn't having a normal experience. I was extremely uncomfortable, extremely inflamed. Like if you saw pictures of my face, like it wasn't weight, it was inflammation. Like something was happening. And I took every test. I spent thousands of dollars on stool tests, on hormone tests, on special food tests to see if I was sensitive to it, on every hormone, like everything. And everything was coming back. Like, yeah, things were a little off, but like nothing that was causing
the red flag, the sign.
Yeah. Like, yeah, was my gut a little off? Whose isn't?
Yeah.
You know, like, yeah, was I a little sensitive to onions? I knew it. Yeah. Okay. I'll stop eating onions for a little bit. Like, you know what I mean? It wasn't anything that was like, oh yeah, your cortisol is off, or, oh yeah, this is like, I was okay. But my A1C was pre-diabetic. My blood pressure was through the roof. I felt like crap. I also couldn't get on the floor with my daughter. Like it was so uncomfortable. I couldn't bend over to tie my shoe. Trying to go on a walk around our block I was sweating. I was out of breath. Like just, I was uncomfortable. I wasn't happy. I was more anxious, depressed. You know, there was a lot happening. And my aha moment, honestly, was someone came across my TikTok who was sharing her journey. And she said, you know, I'm getting this surgery for me and like my future as a parent, as a mom, as a wife, like I want to feel as good as possible. And I was listening to her and I was like, yeah, like me too. Me, like, I feel like at this point, I have done everything to help myself and I know something's wrong. Like, I know there's,
you know, yeah.
I just needed help. Mm-hmm. Is what it was. And I looked at a lot of options. There's tons of options out there, whether it be going on a diet like that your doctor prescribes, which, I mean, I'm a registered dietitian by trade. That just doesn't sit right with me. You know, I've worked with many dietitians for my own journey for years now. So, but another diet wasn't what I needed. I felt that I wanted something that was permanent. I didn't want something that like, for example, there's all these injections that are coming out now. Wegovy, Ozempic. I forget the other.
There's one more, Mounjaro.
Yeah, all those. And nothing, like, I did a lot of my own research. This is who I am. And do people lose weight on them? Yeah. Do I feel like it's a permanent solution? Not what the science is saying. I don't know. I can't tell you. Everyone's journey is different. I'm not against anything and I'm not 100% for anything.
Right.
I just had to take care of myself. And for the first time, I was just like, I kind of feel like I have to do this. Like something was pulling me towards it. I wanted something drastic enough that would change me mm-hmm. and something permanent enough where this wasn't something that like I had to work. If I come off of it, what's going to happen? Do I have to be on this the rest of my life? What are the other side effects? Like, how is it going to, I have autoimmune diseases. Like, how's that going to happen?
That's it, yeah.
How can I have a healthy relationship with food in front of my daughter? Like, I really just want to feel like me again. Mm-hmm. And so I went to the doctor. I scheduled, I told him, I've done all this research. I really think this VSG is like the right fit for me because it's a tool. Like this is not, yes, will you lose weight in the beginning? You should. There's ways to do it wrong. Some people don't. I actually know two people where it's failed basically, but they didn't do the right things. Like they didn't follow what they were supposed to.
Sure.
At least not for the amount of time that you're supposed to. Will this be a permanent thing? Yeah. Will it help me forever? No. I could easily gain weight back and that's fine. I needed something to kind of give me the kick in the butt that was going to help me just feel better so I could do the things I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And again, my mental relationship with myself, with food, it just wasn't working. What I was doing wasn't working, but there was nothing else to try. Mm-hmm. And so I was really, I had to mourn a lot of my old feelings about weight loss surgery and my family. And I had to almost take my ego out of it because I, for some reason, thought in my head, I'd rather sit here and suffer and say that I try to do it on my own than like get help and start my life again.
Yeah.
And when I caught myself saying that, like, what am I getting from not doing it? And I was like, I made a whole pros and cons list. I had a whole note in my phone. I went through it with Bobby. Like, don't worry. I did it all. I cried a lot. And I just was like, this seems right. Like as mad as I am that it's right, it seems right. So I worked a lot on that mindset shift. But yeah, like my why, I want more kids. And the way I was going, doubt it.
Yeah.
And I want to run around with my toddler and not feel embarrassed or out of breath or have hot flashes all the time.
Keep up with them.
I want to feel sexy. I want to feel confident. I want Bobby to think I'm sexy. Not that he ever would say that he didn't, but like I've changed, you know, I'm aware of it. I wasn't the best version of me. Things were not good. And I just wanted me back. And like, I could say now on the other end of it, why I waited so long is all my ego. And, you know, I wish I did it sooner, but when you're not you for so long, your light is so dimmed, almost like blown out. And I just needed this like last straw to grasp. Mm-hmm. And I'm really happy. Like I'm for the first time in probably like 10 years, I feel more like me and capable than anything.
Oh, that almost makes me want to cry.
Don't, because then I'll cry.
I'm so happy for you. Like I know like the feeling like your light's dimmed and like you just want to feel back to yourself. Like that's really important in our lives as moms to mm-hmm. feel like ourselves. And I think when you feel like yourself, you are a better version, version of the mom that you can be basically. So I think that's huge. And I think, you know, it's going to serve our children for years down the road. Having a mom that feels like themselves, gets to do the things they want to do, and, you know, is showing our children like this is how it should be. You should get to feel good and you should get to be the best mm-hmm. version of yourself.
Yeah, because like I wasn't enjoying food at that point. Like I didn't have a healthy relationship with myself, with food, with anything. And I didn't want Ellie to see that
and witness it and think that she has to hate food because it makes, you know, mom feel bad. You know, yeah. I get that.
Yeah. And then also like, honestly, I've built this business. I built this great Hashimoto's support business and I couldn't be myself there either. And I used to think of that as my baby before I had a baby. And that was just silly. But like, I felt like a fraud. I felt like I was letting people down. I felt like if they knew I had weight loss surgery, they would like unfollow, ask for refunds, like just talk bad about me. And none of that matters. Like I had to almost take the power away from the numbers, the following, the income, the groups, and just say like, what do I want? What do I want? Mm-hmm. Because the fact of the matter is I have created a business out of every venture pretty much I've ever been on in my life.
Yeah.
I'm like 10 steps ahead of people and I'm like, I could help people. And then I create businesses and they're usually successful until I move on to the next thing. And for the first time, so many people are like, oh, are you taking clients? Or my mom is like, you should become a bariatric Hashimoto's dietitian. And I'm like, I need something just for me. I've never had anything this big just for me. Like, yeah. I'm new. Like, I have a dietitian. Like, I hired a dietitian in this journey because I am new at this. I need help. I have no clue what to expect. I've never had this stomach before. I've never, like, this is all new. And I just, will I share my journey? Heck yeah. Like, it's all over the place now. Go follow my TikTok. I post all the time there on my Instagram too. Like, I'm going to talk about it freely and I want to help people, but I don't want it to be a business where, and I think that's been the issue, is that my light gets dim so that I can help others people's light get brighter. And I'm good at that. And I love helping people, but I need this for me so my light can keep shining so that I can do other things for other people.
Yeah. And you have so many like interests. I feel like there's so many other things that you can do as a business that mm-hmm. still it makes your light brighter. It's not dimming anything. So I think,
yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Let's also talk about like, how had this affected or made you feel like, how has it helped your Hashimoto's, your PCOS? Have you noticed any differences? And I mean, obviously you've probably noticed differences, but I'm just curious, mm-hmm. like,
yeah,
as far as inflammation goes, numbers go, like numbers getting better. Have you tested? I'm just curious.
Yeah. So I actually just tested like 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think mm-hmm. it was. And for the first time since I think like 2016, I had zero red flags. Like nothing said like wow. low or high or like red flag. Like I literally get a red flag on yeah. my labs. And I was like, I checked my name on the top and I was like, is this fine? Like my white blood cells were always elevated because of inflammation. Normal, like not just normal, like normal for me, normal. Like in my practice, I use optimal. Functional lab levels. Yeah. Like fine. Wow. A1C dropped a bunch of points. My insulin dropped a bunch of points. Thyroid completely normal. All the hormones. I haven't checked antibodies yet. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that goes. I think before surgery, it was in like the 200s or 300s ish. Yeah. I really don't remember, honestly. And cholesterol's normal. My like vitamin D is great. My iron is great. Like it was just seeing those labs really validated why I needed this. And why I kind of had to go a little bit drastic. Because I was so off. Mm-hmm. Like so many red flags. Like even I had to get blood work before surgery to check everything. And it was upsetting. Yeah. And it was like everything is off. The way it's not supposed to be.
Kind of reaffirmed that this is the right decision. This was the right thing to do. Your body just seems like it's working just better. Not working better. Yes,
it's working.
Yeah, working.
Exactly. I can be on my feet all day and not feel like a Big Mac truck hit me, which we've talked about this extensively. My energy is up. My skin is clearer. I just feel better and more capable.
Yeah.
And what I eat won't completely throw me off.
Won't derail you, basically.
Yeah. I still eat gluten-free and I think I will be the rest of my life, and I'm totally fine with that. That's by choice for me. But I'm keeping it simple. And I'm actually enjoying food again. I've been baking, I've been cooking, and I don't feel restricted. I don't feel like the only way I feel restricted is the mental game, and that I can't finish what I eat.
Yeah.
But I can eat at this point in my doctor's guidelines. I'm pretty much free to eat what I can tolerate.
Yeah.
It's just the benefits significantly have outweighed the negatives already. And it has been nine weeks since already? I had the surgery.
Wow. Yeah.
And I've lost weight. Yeah. I'm not going to share numbers. I don't think that matters. Everyone's journey is different, which has obviously helped tremendously. That was kind of the point. But my main thing is I just want to be healthy. I don't have a goal weight. My doctor doesn't, we don't talk about numbers. Yes, I weigh myself when I'm there. But I'm not I can work out without having this massive recovery period for a week and a half. I'm sleeping better. I'm not snoring anymore. I also had sleep apnea too. That was happening.
That's scary to have sleep apnea.
It's just been a collective positive point in my life. And that's honestly why I also chose to share it when I did, was because people noticed I didn't look as inflamed, and I knew that was going to happen. And, if I can help one person better themselves, I'm not saying surgery is the best option for you, but just know that there's hope. That's what I want. And for the first time, I don't feel like a fraud or a failure in life. I feel like if me sharing all of me and just sharing the truth and the ins and outs of life, of motherhood, of business, of everything, I get to be me. I don't have to hide anything for the first time ever. And that is just such a freeing feeling that everyone should get to experience. I needed to share. It was getting to the point where I was just closing in on myself again and didn't know what to say or talk about. And I was just I think it's time. Here we are.
Speak your truth. And I think you did that and you're doing that, and it looks good on you. It looks good on you.
Thank you.
So is there anything else that you want to share about the surgery or anything really, or maybe what's to come?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully what's to come is just more of this positive, journey and discovering new things and falling in love with movement again. I think that's my next venture. My number one piece of advice is get support. I joined a membership. I have a dietitian. I'm in it. I did get a discount code for the membership that I'm in. So if you guys want to join, I'll put that link in the show notes. It's called The Tribe. It's by an amazing dietitian. She is Jamie, the sleeve dietitian. Helps so many. They have support calls every day of the week. They have recipes. It is just an amazing community. So I'm happy I joined that. And honestly, I my support at home, telling them what was going on and having things prepared and just what how I wanted it to go. And like conversation wise, like, don't bring up my weight all the time. You know, yes, I'm going to lose weight, but like, don't every day be like, wow, because that messes with my head. And then I think just like understanding that this is a tool. It's not going to make or break my experience. I'm working really hard behind the scenes, mentally, physically, and emotionally. Yes, this surgery is a great tool and it has helped me so far. And I plan on it helping me for a long time, but I am doing the work. Like, I'm still cooking every meal. I'm working out. I'm busting my butt. I own a business. I'm a mom. Like, I'm still doing the stuff. So I'm not just sitting here twiddling my thumbs and hoping for the best. And yeah, I don't know. I'm really happy. I'm really proud. I'm really excited. And I know weight gain is a really hard part of Hashimoto's. And I just want everyone to know that they're not alone in their wanting to just feel healthier and better. And there are ways to help. And if you feel like this is resonates with you, reach out. Like I have talked to so many of you in the DMs already. And, you know, I'm honest. I will tell you exactly what I think and feel from a like friend standpoint, but also as a clinician and also as someone who's gone through this. So, I think that's it.
Well, thank you so much for sharing. Like, I just think you're so empowering to like share the story, and I'm just happy for you.
Thank you. You are, Morgan was actually one of the first people I told that I was doing this.
Yeah.
Because we support each other, and that was literally, it was like my family, Morgan, our producer, Ashley. And I think like a few of like maybe two or three of my very close friends. But I was like, I don't want anyone to know. I don't want, like, I was very, thinking that like, I had to keep this a secret, 'cause if people found out, they would hate me. And I'm saying F that, because that's just a stupid narrative.
People either. And
yeah,
and most people genuinely like want what's best for you.
Mm-hmm. I wasn't expecting that, but people have proven that by like the comments I'm getting on some posts and the podcast. And I was literally like ready when I published the podcast. I was like, all right, ready for the hate. Like, I mentally prepared myself. I didn't have a single hate anything. Like, I have gotten in the Hashimoto's dietitian space so much hate, so much judgment, so many like mean bullies. And normally I've learned to rub it off and just say like, have the day you deserve kind of thing. And so I was like ready. I was like, all right, like, let's go. I'm back. And I have had nothing but kindness and love and support. And I could cry just thinking about how wonderful people are. Just like, we just want you to be happy. Like, yeah, helping women with Hashimoto's is great, but like, you got to take care of you. And I'm like, have I just been missing the point for the last 20 years of my life?
Sometimes we just get in our head with things and it consumes us. And we're like, we're not doing that. We're not doing that. And then do it. And you're like, damn, I was the one holding myself back like the whole time. So
literally. And I was dimming my own light. So stop dimming your light, do what's best for you and your future. Think about it. Like, if this resonates with you at all, and again, I'm not saying like, oh my God, you have to do this new thing. Like, no, do what's best for you. But I had to take a look at how my life was going and how I wanted to live my life every day and get the tools that I needed to do that. And that's what helped me make my decision and why I did this, because I knew the kind of life I wanted to lead and the kind of person I wanted to be. And she was very far away if I just kept going the route that I was going before.
Yeah. Do what's best for you, I think, is what it comes down to. And
yeah,
don't let others basically make your decision for you. You have to do what's best for you. So I just love that you shared this with us today. Yeah, I hope if you guys have any questions, you guys know where to find Chelsea. She's on Instagram. She's in our Hashimoto's group as well. So, you know, if you have questions about this, she's, like I said, open book. She's open to answering any of your questions or helping you with any of this. And, you know, we hope that this resonated with you or helps if this is something that maybe piques your interest. So, but with that being said, we'll catch you guys on the next episode. And we'll see you next time.